point has sub-points. You'd whine if I wasn't prepared. All right. Is everybody ready? Hebrews chapter number 10. I won't promise that we'll read. We'll get all the preaching. But we're going to try. All right. Hebrews chapter number 10. Let's start reading in verse number 9. And we'll start reading in verse number 9. I will tell you this. I would prefer to start reading in verse number 1, but for time constraints, we'll just do verse number 9, starting right there in the middle, and we're going to read down through verse number 25. So if you're in Hebrews chapter number 10, I want you to say amen. The Bible says, "Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God." Now this is Jesus speaking. All right. This is a quote from Jesus, if you will. All right. And then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first that he may establish the second. This is in reference to the covenant. There's the old covenant and the new covenant. We divide it up in our Bible as the Old Testament and the New Testament. All right. The reason we have a New Testament or a new covenant is because of Jesus. That's what we're going to talk about this morning, is this new covenant or this New Testament. Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first covenant that he may establish the second covenant, or the first testimony that he may establish the second testament. And I need somebody to hear me right here. The second testament is a whole lot better than the first one. All right? Because the first one, if you broke God's law, you're liable to die on the spot. I need somebody to help me this morning. If you broke God's law in the first covenant, you liable not to lay your head down on a pillow that night. I mean, even the people that spoke against Moses, they ended up in leprosy. Let me see. They spoke against Moses and God opened up the earth and swallowed them. I need somebody to help me right here. I promise you, everybody turned to Jesus if that stuff was going on today. Praise God. You go to running your mouth about a preacher or the church or somebody or God, period. And he just said, all right, whoops, and you dead. I mean, in the Old Testament, the preachers, think about Elijah. Elijah just, he burned you up, man. What? You come to take me? Zap, you were burned up. Fire down from heaven. I need somebody to help me right here. I mean, the Old Covenant was not a good place to be. The Old Covenant, you touched the Ark of the Covenant, and God killed you. The Old Covenant, you looked in the Ark of the Covenant, and God killed you. I mean, the Old Covenant, a rebellious teenager got stoned. And I ain't talking about in the way you're thinking. I'm talking about brought outside the camp, all the parents pick up stones, and you dead. But you ain't rebellion no more. You ain't rebellious no more. I mean, that Old Covenant, I need somebody to help me. The Old Covenant was bad. It was bad. If you did something opposing God, it was bad. And then what made it even worse was you had to bring a sacrifice to the Lord. And man, you had to make sure that sacrifice was perfect. How many of you has luck like mine and you would have picked one that looked good on the outside, but there was something wrong with him and God wouldn't forgive you? That's my kind of luck. Huh? Then you had the high priest every year. He went in there into the Holy of Holies to offer sacrifice for the nation of Israel. And they got to see the Shekinah glory fall as long as God accepted the offering. But if that joker went in there and had one impure thought, God killed him. I mean, I don't know about y'all, but they were some things I'd be worried about. I mean, the old covenant was not a place that you want to be. But everything that the Old Covenant showed us was that we needed a Savior. All the offerings of the Old Testament, all the feasts of the Old Testament, all these the drink offerings and the sacrifice, all these things was a shadow. the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter number 10 and verse number 1, it says, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. So the Old Testament, while it had a use, the Old Covenant, while it had a purpose, it could not perfect the person in the law nor in the sacrifices. And so Jesus came. And in verse number 9, we see, man, I wish I had time to preach this. We will in a minute. We will. It says, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. So this morning, you and I are living under the New Testament, the New Covenant, not because of anything that we have done, but because of what Jesus did. Let's continue reading if we can. Verse number 10. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, listen to this, which can never take away sins. Are y'all hearing what they're saying? He's saying these offerings and these sacrifices that were made in the Old Testament could not take away sin. All it did was make atonement for the sin. They continued on. Nothing changed in them. Hey, y'all got to hear me. Nothing changed in them. Nobody changed in them. You just brought a sacrifice and then you had to bring another one and then you had to bring another one. And me and you, come on y'all, I need some help. We'd have to be raising some lambs. I'm just telling you, I'd have a lamb farm if I was living back in the Old Testament. Yes, sir. They would be a lot of lambs that'd be going. I'm just being honest. The Bible says this, verse number 12, but this man, Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice himself for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Now that's a contrast to verse number 11, because in verse number 11 we're told that the priest had to continually work in the tabernacle every single day, ministering sacrifices. But this one sacrifice, which was Jesus' body, when it was offered, the work was done. Why do you know that, preacher? Because the Bible says he sat down on the right hand of God. It was finished. There was no longer a reason for the high priest to continually work. Why? Because the one offering took care of the sins forever. What the Old Testament couldn't do, what the lambs couldn't do, the Lamb of God did. All right? And so they sat down. He sat down on the right hand of God. From henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering, that's himself, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. I need somebody to help me right here. That don't mean them that are perfect. That means them that are set apart. This is talking about those that are saved. If you're saved in the building this morning, say amen. Amen. For by one offering, he's perfected you. I know you don't look perfect. You're not perfect. I understand that. But you have to understand your standing is perfect because of his work, not yours. And so he's perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days. He's fixing to tell us this is the new covenant. Y'all ready? Here he goes. He says, this is the covenant, this new covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts. No more on a tablet. No more on stone. He says, I'll put them into their hearts and in their minds will I write them. Oh, here we go. Verse number 17. Somebody ought to stand up, run around the building three times, do a backflip across the front, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Woo! Amen! Praise God. Somebody need to hear that this morning, because in the Old Testament, those sins never went away. But in the New Testament, God says, hey, this New Testament that is consecrated by the body of my dear son, by the blood that was shed by my dear son. He said, those that are sanctified, set apart unto God, those that by faith trust in God, trust in Christ, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Oh, I need somebody to help me right here. What you've been worried about in your past, God don't even, He forgot it. I'm going to say it over here. What you worried about from your past, God's already forgot it. The only person that's remembering it is you and those around you, because they won't let it go either. But God said, their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. Let's go on to the next verse, because it's gooder and gooder. It says this, now where remission or pardon or deliverance or liberty or forgiveness of these is, those sins, there is no more offering for sin. Once you're forgiven, oh, I need somebody to help me. There's nothing else that you have to bring before the Lord. There's no more offering for sin. I'm going to get out. Come on. At verse number 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest. How? By the blood of Jesus. If you understand the holiest, then you understand this. That's where God sat. The holiness, the holiest of holies, that was where the Ark of the Covenant, where the mercy seat sat. That is where God met with man. It is in type the presence of God, but it is in type the throne of God. Stay with me. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. We never had, the Old Testament, you couldn't go to God. I'm going to go over here and say it. The Old Testament, you couldn't go to God. A high priest had to go to God on your behalf. If you went to God, if you walked into the holiest holy, you died. You couldn't decide, hey, I need to talk to God. I'll be back in a minute. The Old Covenant didn't allow that. There was no access to God except through a high priest. But Jesus is our high priest, and he gave access when he offered his blood that was perfect, that for, I need somebody to help me right here, that was enough to satisfy the wrath of God. And by that blood, according to the word of God, you and I have access to God himself. I'm getting there. We're moving quickly. Maybe not, but it's good to say it. Verse number 20. By a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us. Let me stop right there, because this is just good, and I don't know if I have time to preach it. But by a new and living way. This is a reference as if Jesus' blood was still fresh. Still warm, still wet even today, 2,000 years later, by a new and living way. In other words, the blood never loses its power. Oh, I need somebody to help me. I need somebody to help me, because if you can go look at my tailgate and you can see runs down to my tailgate where blood's run down the tailgate from a deer killed or whatever. And that blood ain't the same it was that day. I got the pictures to prove it. But according to this verse, the blood of Jesus never changed. By a new and living way, it's continual, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil. Now, what is the veil? The veil is what separated the holy from the holy of holies. It's what separated the priest from, not even all the priests could go in the presence of God. Only the high priest, and there was a veil that kept them there. But the veil, according to this, through the veil, that is to say his flesh. That's Jesus. You and I, that veil was rent when Jesus died on that cross. That blood was offered by our high priest to God, and he accepted it, was satisfied by the blood of Jesus. Verse number 20. By a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God. This is Jesus. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Now, what you don't understand, and what you might have missed already this morning, is in the old covenant, you had no assurance. You could be right with God today and bad wrong with him tomorrow. If you don't believe it, go and look at the Israelites all through the Old Testament. They pleased God one day and said, hey, we'll do everything you ask, God, and he killed 30,000 of them the next. Somebody say, amen, we're not living under that covenant. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. Not me, not you, he that promised. Him, he's faithful. I need somebody. Y'all better help me. Verse number 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Why, preacher, why you got to talk about that verse? It's just one verse in the Bible that talks about going to church. Why you got to bring that up? It's in the Bible. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Let me help y'all out. Because some of y'all don't understand this verse. That means when the church doors are open, we're supposed to be there. Let me say that again for everybody. When the doors of the church are open and the body of Christ is assembling, that means those that are saved, who are also the body of Christ, ought to be here. Let me go over here and say it on this side. Is everybody all right? That means there's some things in your life that change and some priorities that change, and all of a sudden, God is more important than what you... thank you, Brother Johnny. I ain't got nobody else. Everybody else is going, they're doing this, but they're going, Brother Johnny said, amen. That's a man that enjoys going to church. Is everybody all right? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another. That word exhorting means strengthening one another. But it doesn't just mean that. It means instructing one another and teaching one another as well. And the only way, I need somebody, y'all got to look up in here. Some of you, I don't understand the Bible. Because you don't come from no teaching and instructing. Is everybody all right? Look up in here. Well, I can get it off of the internet. Man, do you know you can catch cooties off the internet too? Matter of fact, I need somebody to help me right here. I promise you, by the time this thing is over with, our government will tell us that if you hit one key on your button, on the keyboard there, you're going to get COVID again. Stay with me. Everything you see on the internet ain't true. We need instructing. And God's word. Somebody just said, really, and you're the very one I'm talking about. You're the very one I'm talking about. You're the one that's just, you're the one that's just crazy enough to believe something stupid on the internet. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. I notice a trend, we're seeing less and less church services as the day's approaching. When we're instructed that we should go to more and more church services as the day's, let me get on with it. Is everybody all right? Let's take a look at this New Testament, can we? And I'll be real quick. Well, I'm going to preach this in 9 minutes. Are y'all ready? All right, here we go. I got 5 points and a lot of subpoints. We can do it. All right, y'all believe that? Y'all say amen. All right, you believe it. All right, here we go. I notice number one, the acquisition of a New Testament. It came through a prepared body. The Bible tells us in verse number 7, then said, lo, I come to do thy will. Let me go back up. I'm sorry. In verse number 5, wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. The acquisition of a New Testament came through a prepared body. That prepared body was not you and I, but it was our high priest, Jesus Christ, who came in the form of a babe, born of a virgin, with the blood of God. He was conceived by the Holy Ghost. The blood that ran through his veins was divine blood. It was blood that was perfect. It was blood that was without sin. You see, mine and your blood is tainted. Mine and your blood is corrupted. According to the Bible, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You and I, we're born by our father, Adam, and you and I have that blood running through us, a corrupted blood, a blood that has sin in it, for all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. But God prepared a body for this New Testament, one without sin, one that was divine blood. And so when his blood, when we talk about the blood of Jesus, we're not just talking about the blood of any man. We're talking about a perfect blood. And so we see a prepared body. We see a prescribed death. According to the Bible, it tells us in verse number 10, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. So not only the acquisition of a New Testament required a prepared body, but a prescribed death. He had to die for you and I. Why? Because our sins meant you and I had to die. Y'all help me. For the wages of sin is, say it again for those in the back, for the wages of sin is, all right, and so that means we had to die. But he died in our place. He was a prepared body and a prescribed death. You and I are who we are today, and we are saved today because Jesus died. Not because he lived, but because he died. He died as mine and your substitute. Genesis 22 told us that Abraham took his son up onto a mount to offer him there. And when God stopped Abraham, he looked over in the thicket, and there was a ram caught by the horns, and he said he offered that ram in the stead of his son. You and I, that offering that was made for you and I was the Lamb of God, according to John chapter number 1, verse number 29. He would die. He died. He was killed for you and I in our stead. Why? Because there was a prescribed death. The acquisition of a New Testament didn't just happen because you and I wanted a New Testament. It happened through a prepared body. It happened through a prescribed death. It happened through a passionate servant. I want you to look with me, if you will, in verse number 7. It says, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will. Go to verse number 9. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. Man, this is some good stuff to me, because God did prepare him a body. And God did foreordain his death before the foundation of the world. But in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus cried out, not my will, but thine be done. Jesus showed us that even as a perfect man, he had his own will. And his will was to do that of the Father. He had to submit to the will of the Father. So he was, everybody all right, a passionate servant. Why? Because he said, let not this cup pass, or if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. He said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. We see a prepared body, a passionate, or prescribed death, a passionate servant, and a powerful transaction. And listen to this, by the which will we are sanctified, verse number 10, through the offering. Something happened at his death that changed us. I'm going to say that again over here. Something happened with his death that changed us. There was the acquisition of a New Testament. I got to move on. The acquittal of a New Testament. We see the forgiveness of sin, and then we see the forgetting of sins. In verse number 17, in their sins and iniquities, I will remember no more. So not only do we see the acquisition of a New Testament, it come through a prepared body and a prescribed death, a passionate servant and a powerful transaction, but we see the acquittal of a New Testament. We see the forgiveness of sins and the forgetting of sin. God has forgot what you are holding on to. And he says he'll remember them no more. Number three, I'm moving along, the access of a New Testament, of the New Testament. This New Testament gave us access. Is everybody all right? We have access now. The only way they had access back then was through a high priest bringing a perfect sacrifice into the Holy of Holies once a year. But now you and I have complete access. You and I have access to the Father. How do we have that? I'm glad you asked. Because of a perfect sacrifice. It was a perfect sacrifice. The lamb or the blood of bulls and goats could not atone for sin, but God's blood was accepted. And so it was a perfect sacrifice. We have a perfect high priest. Oh, I need somebody to help me. Do you realize that the high priest had to offer for his sins before he could go into the Holy of Holies? He couldn't just go into the Holy of Holies because he was a perfect person. He had to go and he had to offer a sacrifice for his sins before he could go in there. Can I get a witness right there? I mean, I don't know how he was, but I would have been like, look, I'm not leaving out of here because if I do, I'm going to see something on the TV. I'm going to see something out there. Somebody's going to say something to me. Somebody's going to look at me funny. Right? But you and I have a perfect high priest. He didn't have to offer for himself. Oh, y'all ain't getting it. We had a perfect, not only a perfect sacrifice, we had a perfect high priest. And because of that, you and I have a perfect standing. We have a perfect standing. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? Let me help you out here. This is what the Bible says. It says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated, say it with me, for us. Hey, I have a perfect standing with God now. Why? Because Christ consecrated it for me. Oh, I don't enter the Holy of Holies on my behalf. I enter it on his credentials. I need y'all better help me out. I don't get to just walk into the Holy of Holies because I'm born. I walk in because of him. I have access to the Father through him. He did the work. Somebody help me. He did the work. Which leads me to point number four, the assurance of a New Testament. We see it's based off of his work. Verse number 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from the evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. You and I, we have the assurance of a New Testament. This New Testament that you and I can live in and can live by, this new covenant that God has given to us was through his work. It's based off of his work and it's based off of his word. For he is faithful that promised. What he said was true is true. Lastly, and I'm done, y'all. This is good. I'm going to go over to 9 minutes a little bit, but not much. The acquisition of a New Testament, the acquittal of a New Testament. We see the access of a New Testament. We see the assurance of a New Testament. Lastly, and you're going to be mad, there's an assignment of the New Testament. I'm sorry. You thought you could just get saved and just do whatever you want to. I'm sorry. You thought that God would just die for you and you could just keep on being you. I'm sorry. You thought that God was going to offer his son, bring his son into this cruel and wicked world, have him die for your sins so that you can keep living in them. But he's not going to let us do that. See, the assignment of the New Testament, let's just look in the Bible at verse number 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto, say it with me, love. Matter of fact, John, he writes and he tells us that they will know that you are one of his disciples if you love one another. That's some good stuff. We all sit there and say, well, I can do that. I can love everybody. You can't even love yourself. That's right. I need somebody to help me. You can't even love yourself, much less love somebody else. Amen. I promise you, you ain't going to look at yourself the same way you look at everybody else. And if you can't love yourself, you sure ain't going to love everybody else in this room. Stay with me. But you know what? You and I have an assignment, and that assignment is to consider one another, to provoke unto love and the good works. Lord help, I thought I could just do whatever I wanted to. What do you mean, Jesus? You mean that I have to be, you mean that I have to do some things different? Imagine that. I mean, imagine that. Imagine that God would offer himself for you and I and then ask something of us. Who does he think he is? God, I'll tell you what. Now look here. I didn't read the fine print, Jesus, before I got saved. Is everybody all right? I didn't read that fine print where it said that I was supposed to be holy because you are holy. But I sure do thank you that I'm going to heaven. I didn't read that. I don't remember reading that part where it said I'm not supposed to sin, Jesse. But I sure am glad you saved me, Lord. Boy, ain't that how most Christians live? Help me, y'all. Y'all nod your head like this, or I know who I'm talking to. And I'm ready to quit, but if you don't nod your head, I'm not quit. Amen. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Let's keep on going. Is everybody all right? Not forsaking. Gosh, that's that verse again. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Some of you is more faithful to things that are ungodly than you are to things that are godly. And you wonder why your life is horrible. Amen. Is everybody all right? Well, I don't know why I have to go through this. Why my family doing it? Hey, is everybody? Y'all help me. We faithful to everything else, but. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Y'all, hey, listen here. I'll make a deal with you. If you don't come to church, if you're not a regular church, come. And here's the deal I make with you. All right? You ain't got to give your tithe. I'm not after your money. I'm challenging you to come to church every time the doors is open. And watch what God does in your life. Amen. Oh, listen to me. Watch what God does in your life. Because your relationship with God will change the more you're around the things of God. I know you listen to your podcasts and you read your little devotional every morning. But listen to me. I can tell they ain't doing nothing for you. It's obvious. Come to church. Why? Because we need one another. That's the last part of it. Because it says this, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. I come to church, yes, to get instruction. Yes, that's an important part of me coming to church. Do you know what else is an important part of me coming to church? This man right here. Stay with me, because it ain't about Brother Kenny. Because it's this lady right here. That's why I come to church. It's this lady right here. It's this lady right here. It's this fellow over here that can't shoot quail. This is why I come to church. Somebody's got to help him. I'm having eye. Listen, y'all need to pray for him. I'm having eye surgery tomorrow. And I can already outshoot Jesse. When I can see, Jesse's really in trouble, all right? All right. So this girl, don't lie. This lady right here. This lady right here. Oh, this is a good one. These people right here. Because this is my family. Is everybody all right? That's why I come. Exhorting. How does it say it? Exhorting. Say it with me. Exhorting one another. This guy right here. This guy right here spent 50 something days in the hospital. Me FaceTiming while he was watching Jesse Miss Quail. I come for him. I come for this guy right here. He's been here from the very day one. There's a lot wrong with him. He's from California like them people right there. And somebody over in that area, I won't mention nobody's names, but anyhow, there's a lot, they messed up. But I come for him because he needs strengthening. I need somebody to help me. I come for him and her because they need strength. Let me stop and come back over here because some of y'all is going to get missed out. And this is what I want to say to you. I come to church because of y'all. And you're attendance here strengthens and exhorts me. Oh, y'all, I need somebody to help. Hey, a New Testament. A New Testament. Some of us better thank God we ain't living under the Old Testament. But a New Testament that's been consecrated by God. Now, I was finished 10 minutes ago, but it is. It's run over, all right? Dalton's coming to the piano, and this is a question. Heads bowed and eyes closed with me. The Old Testament, listen. Heads bowed, listen to me. The Old Testament was based off of the works of man. It was a law that God gave man to follow and man couldn't follow, and therefore judgment was brought by God because man broke the law. But the New Testament is based off of Christ. It's based off of His blood. It's based off of His work, not mine. But it's only available. It's only given to those, according to the Bible, what we read this morning, that are consecrated to Him. That means that are separated, set apart to God. If we sit in this building and we think that everybody is going to go to heaven because Jesus died on the cross, and we're thinking wrong. Because the blood of Christ is reserved, the forgiveness of Christ, those things are reserved for those that are consecrated to God, set apart, those through faith that have trusted in Christ. So my question to you this morning is, are you ready to stand before God? If you had to stand before God in the next minute, are you ready to do so? With full assurance of faith. If not, this morning I want to help you. But you got to let me. You got to be honest with me. And so I'm going to ask you this question. If you were to die sitting in that chair, do you know where you'd spend eternity? If you say, preacher, I do not know. Or preacher, I feel I go to hell. I want you to do me a favor. Nobody's looking around. I want you to lift your hand up. That's all I'm asking you to do. I'm just asking you to be honest with me. Preacher, I do not know. You ain't got to lift it high, just high enough for me to see it. Preacher, I do not know where I'd spend eternity if I was to die. Is there anybody in the building to be honest with me and say, preacher, I don't know. Anybody? All right. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. God, we sure are thankful, Lord, for this morning. Lord, we're thankful for a new covenant. Lord, we're fixing to celebrate, Lord, your death. Lord, we're going to celebrate your resurrection. But Lord, before all of that, Lord, we need to know the true meaning, Lord, behind why you went to that cross. Lord, you went to that cross to provide us a new covenant. A covenant based off of your work. Covenant based off of your word. A covenant, Lord, that we can have full assurance. Knowing, Lord, that our sins and iniquities you'll remember no more. Knowing that, God, we have a right standing with you that allows us access to you. God, I want to thank you for that new covenant. I want to thank you for that shed blood. I want to thank you, Lord, that you submitted to the will of the Father to make a way that I might be saved. Lord, we love you this morning. Lord, we're thankful for a place that we can come and open your word. Lord, glean from it. Lord, learn from it. God, you have provided all of this, Lord, to strengthen us. Lord, to instruct us, to teach us. Lord, may we not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, realizing that, God, we need each other. The only way we're going to make it through this world is by fellowship and love for one another.